take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire for love of you. Amen. Please be seated. My parents raised me and my sisters guided by the golden rule. You know that same rule. Maybe you were raised on it as well. It's from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:12. Say it along with me. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yes, I thought y'all knew this. I was going to be a little worried if y'all didn't. If either parent observed behavior that was not quite what they expected, that parent would look at us pointedly and quote, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Eventually, my parents expected us to not only respond with those same words, but to actually conform our behavior to them as well. Now, one sister who I need to keep nameless didn't seem to get the message as my parents had hoped. Finally, observing some typical non-golden rule behavior, and after asking this sister what the golden rule was and hearing her recite it back, this parent asked her with exasperation, "Tell me what that means to you." And my sister calmly replied, "Do to others before they do to you." You can imagine my parents' horror. So we were all quickly summoned for instruction on the meaning of the golden rule rather than just being able to parrot its words. Now, the other sister and I were smugly aware of its meaning, we thought, even though our behavior may not have always reflected that knowledge. But we all learned that day, as did my young parents, that hearing and understanding were two very different things. Let anyone with ears listen. Jesus proclaims as he closed his story, the parable of the sower and the seeds in today's gospel. Perhaps he says this to encourage them to not just hear, but to understand. Let anyone with ears listen. If he's not calling them to understand, then it's somewhat of a silly acclamation, isn't it? It's kind of a given. People have ears and so will hear. But I wonder if Jesus is asking whether they will listen. Whether they will listen and understand. Whether they will listen and understand and respond. I ask this because I read the missing verses from our gospel reading that I think sheds light on why Jesus is telling this story. Why this parable is so important to the early Christians that it ended up in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and is always positioned as the first story in each gospel's collection of parables told by Jesus. One commentator labeled this parable of the sower and the seeds as the watershed parable. For through this story, Jesus begins the proclamation of the kingdom of God and the expectation that a response from listeners is required. Back to those missing seven verses, smack dab in the middle of chapter 13, verses that our lectionary leaves out, I guess, just to shorten today's gospel reading. By doing so, we miss that the disciples want to understand Jesus' use of the parables to teach the people. We miss that Jesus quotes a passage from Isaiah about people who do not see or hear and consequently cannot understand. And we miss that Jesus blesses the disciples because they have eyes that see and ears that hear, implying, I think, that they have hearts and minds to understand Jesus' teachings. Now, this is one of Jesus' teachings that has always befuddled me. even though it is one of the few parables for which Jesus actually provides an interpretation. But too often I've heard this parable explained from the soil's perspective. After all, read it is the good soil that leads to the good fruit and high yield, isn't it? When I hear preachers talk about being good soil, I kind of get a little anxious. I want to make sure I'm being good soil, as if that was within my capability or the soil's capacity to do. That is, to become good soil. But Jesus doesn't give much attention to the soil in his telling of this parable. He does not make note of the soil's condition, whether it is moist or dry, rich or poor, or whether it has even been plowed to be ready and receptive to the seeds which will be sown. No, this parable is not about the soil. And it's not about the sower either, because Jesus makes reference to that character only twice until the sower vanishes from the story. No, this is a story about the seeds that are being abundantly sown. The seeds are people. Specifically, the seeds are those people who hear the word of God, as Jesus points out in his interpretation. People who may or may not demonstrate understanding of God's word and allow it to grow within them and become fruitful. Jesus explains that the seeds which have fallen on the path and are eaten by the birds are those who hear the good news of the kingdom and do not understand it and fail to respond to the good news, thus becoming easy prey. The seeds that fell in rocky ground are those who live in the moment and neither deepen their understanding nor respond to this gift, and so fall away when life becomes difficult. The seeds sown among the thorns represent those people who are distracted and deceived by the affairs of the world and of wealth, so that they bear no fruit. But Jesus points to the seeds which fell in the good soil. These are the people who hear the word and understand what it means for them and their lives. And this understanding causes them to live in such a way that they are fruitful. If we, the people who hear the word, are the seeds, what does this bearing fruit mean? What does it look like? First and foremost, I think bearing fruit means that we have understood the life-giving good news of God in Christ and have responded by being attentive and allowing and supporting this kernel of seed to grow within us. Too often we think bearing fruit means to go out and do things for others, and that is being fruitful. But in our haste to do fruitfulness, we forget that we are first to become fruit, just as the seed becomes wheat or corn. We can miss that we are to live our lives so that the word of God is fruitful within us, changing us, while we remain open and receptive to this natural process of growth, rather than impede or prevent it from bearing fruit within and beyond us. If we think that only others are the first three types of seeds sown and fail to recognize the possibility that we too could be those types of seeds, those who fail to understand and to respond, then we do so at our own peril. This reality forces us to live lives of continual self-examination, self-reflection, to assess whether we have understood and responded to the good news of God's salvation, understood and responded so that our lives yield the fruitfulness of God's love. Do to others before they do to you, as my sister initially understood the golden rule. Her misunderstanding demonstrates that it can be dangerous to hear and not understand. Dangerous to not understand and let that understanding transform us. For bearing fruit matters. Bearing fruit matters to Jesus and to the kingdom of God. And it matters today just as it mattered to the early church and those three gospel writers who gave prominence to this parable of Jesus in their writings. These writers knew that the fruitfulness of the kingdom of God, the church's very existence, depended upon the fruitful hearing and understanding of those early Christians. Over the last 2,000 years, this has never changed. The kingdom of God still needs us to become fruit. Our own time is hungry for this fruit, hungry for this life-giving fruit of the good news of God in Christ Jesus. Can we, do we understand? Amen.